You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Guidepost. No Tony today. So for all Tony's haters, you're welcome. Captain Cody Rubner here, joined by two fun gentlemen. And while the last episode was like 7 hours and 42 minutes and it was like directed by Spielberg and everything Menhaden, this one's gonna be a lot more fun, a little bit more brief. And we're gonna chop it up about a little event series that has been going on that maybe a good deal of you attended earlier on. And a cool one that is coming up this coming month, September, that everyone should have on their calendars, especially our New Englanders. So I am joined by Kyle and Grizz, two of the gentlemen holding it down, not only in the fishery space, the nonprofit, and the community space, but also in the good times space, I would say. And we're going to find out a little bit more about what the heck is going on at Soulfly, specifically in Boston and in the past in Charleston. So before we dive right in, Grizz, I see you're in an airport right now, which looks, that's from what I've heard from everyone who's traveled in the last year, flying is really, really fun right now. So it appears like you're having a good time.
You know, well, thanks for saying that. Yeah, anytime in an airport's a great time. You know, lovely people. I'm glad to be here, Cody. First of all, I do want to point out that I love that there's this fan behind you. It looks like you have one of those pinwheel hats on.
Yes.
So we're just going to start with that. You know what? That just dictates fun right there. So
I was definitely a pinwheel hat kid as a kid. And also, my bus was a little bit shorter, and I'm not sure if they were correlated.
Yeah, you had a leash. A leash on them most of the time. Yeah.
Yes, cool. That was just to keep me close to the parents. But good. Glad to see you. Safe travels for sure. Kyle, what's up? Where are we right now? Bahamas, Maine, Mexico, Tijuana in a prison. Where are we?
Yeah, no, all possible. I am hunkered down in York, Maine right now. I'm actually back to Bahamas in 2 days for a couple weeks, kicking our new season off, and then turning right back around for Soulfly Co. Boston.
Sweet.
Yeah, man.
Awesome. Are you tangling still in the tuna madness that is Maine, the if you know, you know fiascos?
You know, I had like a 3 week period where it was nothing but stripers and tuna, and I kind of lost sight of everything else. And then the Bahamas called me back in, so I've been off the water since early August. But I cannot wait to get back late September and see what's cooking around here.
Good,
interesting. Yeah,
I feel like we always tread lightly about, like, you know, really diving into cool stuff that's going on. You don't want to be spot burners and blowing up scenes and letting people enjoy their thing. But it is worth saying that I think Mainers have had a pretty cool year with some cool stuff going on. Not to say that the state doesn't have its challenges with fisheries and stuff, but y'all got some cool stuff shaking lately.
We do. Yeah. It's nice to have that when, you know, a lot of fisheries are localized abundance. And hey, when it's in your backyard, you won the lottery for a short period. So enjoy the goods while you got them.
Yep. 100%. And then when it gets cold and miserable and there's nothing to fish for, you just go to the Bahamas, right?
Like, yeah, totally.
You got it dialed in.
It was all part of the plan, Cody. Years and years of planning. Decades.
Yeah. It's just, you're just a professional snowbird, but you've like really mastered it where you're jumping over some water. So, all right. I love it. And you talked about when in your backyard in the fisheries space, but for people in Boston and the greater New England area, they got something pretty rad coming up in their backyard. I believe the date, I don't want to botch it, we're 17 days out. Is that correct?
There you go. Wow. You're also counting. Yeah.
Yes. Terrific. 17 days, 1 hour and 52 minutes. And I'm totally not looking at the website right now. All right, gentlemen, before we like go deep into the event, like, you know, where it came from, the previous one, et cetera, let's just jump right now. Mark your calendars. Give us a little pitch. Soulfly Boston. What are we looking at? What should be on our calendars? And then we'll take the deep dive.
Right on. Kyle, I can grab this one if you'd like, or do you want to take
it? No, you go for it, big guy.
All right there, big girl. We've got September, the weekend of September 12th. So we will be doing a celebration of saltwater culture and music and art food and beverage at Cisco Brewers Seaport. So that's right in the Seaport, Boston area. And really the goal of this event is to gather the community. And you know, we call it a celebration of saltwater culture because it's not just a fly fishing event. This is an event about angling. However you do that, however that means to you, whatever the ocean gives to you or how you spend time with it, those are the folks that we want. And we also want folks that, you know, may not spend a lot of time in the ocean. We want to learn more. So we've got a whole day there from about noon to 8 p.m. where we've got some of the greatest regional sporting artists around ocean and fishing. We've got Patagonia as our presenting sponsor. They've been absolutely amazing.
Awesome.
We've got Yeti, Turtle Box,
the big title
sponsors. Yeah. And Nemo, just a great company, here in New England, along with Bad Fish, Bear's Den, Saltwater Edge. But again, this isn't a big, like, consumer driven event. It's really about having people connect in an organic way and having fun. That's kind of the genesis, I think, of this idea. Kyle and I, 2 years ago, were like, all right, do we start another fishing lodge? And we got to a point where we're like, not right now. Let's look into something different. So here we are with this. We also have on the day before that Friday, we've got a little fishing action fundraiser. So every event that we do is supporting local nonprofits, and our two nonprofits for this event are Elevate Youth and this other one. I think it's called AGSA,
Anglers Anonymous or alcohol. I don't know. The one of them gives you like coins for how many months you go without doing something.
Yeah. It's a coin driven event. ASGA, and it's exciting because obviously Kyle and I are involved in ASGA, and Kyle much more so. And Elevate Youth, I've been involved in for a very long time. So Elevate Youth, getting kids in the city in Boston outdoors on a consistent basis and partner with mentors. And obviously those listening know what ASGA does here. So we've also got a fun after party on Friday evening at the Cantab Lounge. But that's kind of the general view of what we got going for the weekend of September 12th here in Boston.
I love it. So for anyone who's trying to like get their pen and paper out while they're on 95 North right now, trying to write stuff down or Google Calendar, or whatever. So it's soulflyco.com to get the info, if I got the URL correct. So this is all written down for you. You can hop in, and I just scrolled it really quickly and saw there's a whole wealth of rad stuff to plan on. So again, soulflyco.com. Obviously, we'll have it linked in all of our socials and such as we help promote.
I'm sorry. I'm such an interrupter. Kyle knows this. It's definitely a pet peeve.
This is a podcast today Hosted by Tony and I. It should be called the Interruption Post. Yes. It would not be a guidepost unless someone cut someone off. Continue.
It's a beautiful thing. One thing I want to highlight, and we've got a schedule coming out as far as like what the day entails. It's not just like hanging around and doing nothing. There's some cool people there. There's some cool things that we've got going. One thing I really do want to point out is early on in the day, about 12:30 start time, I think we all know in the fishery world, we do our round tables and we do our panels, and they can be amazing and they can also be an absolute bore, mm-hmm. right? And that's against nobody in particular. I'm just saying that is a fact. Mm-hmm. So in Soulfly, we like to do things a bit differently. And Kyle, actually, need to tell you a little bit more about this, but we're going to do it differently as far as like, we've got five amazing humans up on the stage and a bit off the wall moderator who's going to put everybody in the hot seat and engage folks that are super connected with our fishery and ask questions that are not maybe super like, okay, what's the quota? What's the data? What are we doing? It's more high level stuff. So we can engage those folks who are at the event early on and say, okay, they may not know what a striped bass is versus a smallmouth bass, but they're like, okay, I get it from this person. I get it from that. So that's, it's called Out of Line panel, where we've got Kyle will be on it. Thanks, Kyle, for saying you'll be on it. Abby
this
Schuster.
This is now confirmation, Kyle, that you'll be on it.
You just signed me up. I have opted in. I have a blanket opt-in to all of it.
Good, Abby Schuster, Rachel Finn, Ray Jarvis, if you're listening, thanks for signing up as well.
Yep, I'm actually signing a third party right now for Ray, so he's looking forward to this.
And then two other surprise guests. So, you know, I think that will be like the, if you're familiar with going to fishing events, that will be like maybe the one thing that there goes an ear pod. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. You're good.
Okay. Sorry. That will be kind of the one thing you're familiar with, but it's a different take on it. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. So had to check
that's
that
awesome.
Out.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. I think, you know, from the advocacy space, we're grateful and humbled to be one of the beneficiaries here. And from the advocacy space, which is what ASGA does, you know, there's like different levels of the funnel for picking out a little marketing brain, and there's like bottom of the funnel and there's top of the funnel. And when you talk about top of the funnel, it's quite literally the biggest opening. If for anyone who's never sat anything related to a marketing meeting, you know, that's the biggest opening, the top of the funnel. And the whole goal is people in. Right? Just people joining the conversation. And one of the things that I would say, if we're being self-aware and self-critical as ASGA, I think our community does a really good job of, Kyle, you've been in the fight. We're going to give you all the tools to just like, you're going to be a mercenary. When you get on the, you know, the podium to comment, they're going to go, how does this guy know all this stuff, all this history, all this data, all this whatever? And sometimes we're so focused in the nuance that we don't just welcome new people in and say, hey, dude, you fish, you know, twice a year, but you've kind of noticed it's kind of a little bit tougher, but you have no clue what's going on, but you'd like to give back to, you know, the thing that twice a year you and your son, your grandson go fishing and you love it. You should join too and come learn a little bit more. And so these community and connection driven, like you said, your priority is connection. It's not advocacy. It's not, you know, education. We just want everyone to feel really connected and feel like they're a part of something. And that might take someone who kind of knows a little, but have never felt the drive to want to participate, that might take them over. And it might bring someone in who's like, dude, I didn't even know anything was going on. I just go fishing a couple times and this is all awesome. You guys are doing great stuff. So kudos. And it's just so incredibly important. I think definitely ASGA, you know, that's one of our cruxes, is trying to step out of the weeds a little bit and make sure that just as many people are involved, and these events are a perfect way to do so. And also recognizing that just growing the sport, we're not just an advocacy group on the sense of, you know, trying to make sure that 24/7 we're just conserving fisheries, but also making sure that we're conserving the pastime and heritage and love for fishing, because all the fish will come back if everyone stops fishing, because, you know, we lose the love for fishing. So we never want to get to that point, and this is an outstanding way to do so. And we've been working with some great partners. I think scrolling the website, I saw Tim from Oxbow, right, on there. It's, I don't know his capacity in this event specifically or his role, but working with him on the Striper Season beer was a great way to, quote unquote, top of funnel. Like, hey, you like good beer? Oh, I read the can. I didn't even really know stuff was going on with Stripers. That's crazy. So to see these type efforts, it's a huge help. And they're all grassroots. You guys were just like, we're going to do this. Tim was like, we're going to do this. We're going to make a beer. And that's, I mean, pivotal to the massive, you know, the higher arching bigger picture of advocacy. So super, super exciting. Kyle, I don't know if you want to add anything specifically about Boston, or if not, you know, this is a first time event in Boston, but you guys just got a very successful blueprint when you ripped it for the first time a little bit further down the coast. So maybe if nothing about Boston to add, then maybe you give us a little recap of what went down in Charleston.
For sure. And I think I do. I think you hit on just such a great point there. And I think it really like parallels with, I think, what we want to accomplish at these fun community building events that just feel different and look a little bit different. Because, you know, I've been working alongside of you since ASGA was born, Cody. And I think we're always looking for these creative, different ways for entry points, for people to enter the fight. And you know, and you're working so hard on advocacy and policy, and, you know, I've kind of skewed off into the fundraising land a lot more these last couple of years. And I think, you know, we look at an event like this and we're really proud to be able to partner with ASGA and Elevate Youth on this, because I think it's just it's so hard running a nonprofit. And I think for Soulfly Co. to, you know, to lay down a foundation of a great way to engage and invite this, just this myriad of different folks to come together around the water. I think it, I really just want to give the open invite to people that are listening, like come and just have this as an opportunity to engage in all sorts of different ways. Whether you just want to learn about getting on the water, that's great. If you just want to be there to have fun, fantastic. If you're there looking and you're interested in making an impact in one of these organizations or the fight we're in, like there are so many great people there to talk with you, to help you find your entry point. We've all been there, you know, in the position where we want to make a difference, but we don't know how. And just the smallest of steps can go a really long way. So I think I just want to take a quick sec here as you riffed on that, Cody, of just say like, come join us. Don't be afraid to have these conversations. Like this is super low barrier to entry. Let's have a drink and something good to eat and talk about fish and see where it goes. And that might mean somebody has, you know, somebody might be in the position to make a donation or actually make, you know, do something that is truly meaningful to the organization. And, you know, we have our dedicated fundraiser on Friday night, which is going to be a great thing to check out for folks like that. It's a little bit of a smaller, intimate group. But anyways, I just really wanted to mention that. And thanks for teeing that up, Cody. And Grizz, do you want to kind of give us a little rundown on the madness of Charleston?
Is anyone still in jail or anything yet? Or is there any court cases we have to close before this?
I'm glad you mentioned we had two barometers of success. Nobody was imprisoned or yet.
That you're aware of. Yes.
Pending charges. But,
and nobody was injured.
That's
you know, at least physically. So now, you know, look, Kyle and I... And I think this goes back to something we were saying. It's like, if you can, by the way, it's a great gallon jug of water you said, or is that milk? Are you drinking milk?
No. Okay. Milk would be vile. That would be just ripping a gallon of milk mid podcast. No, I even went on mute. I tried to sneak in a little sip. Chris is not letting anything slide.
No, I can't let it.
Dude, it's like, it's legitimately like 175,000 degrees by 9 a.m. down here. So if you're not constantly on an IV, you'll be dehydrated.
Yeah. No, but back to, so Charleston, South Carolina was where we had our first major event. We've done, you know, helped Tim and Oxbow out there on All Species and Bass Bash last year and doing the same this year. But, you know, we had over 1600 people at this event in Charleston. And I think, you know, Kyle and I have no clue what we're doing, right? We're not event people. I mean, we love going to events, but we don't know how to throw them. We've thrown smaller events. We run a hospitality business and a fishing business, but you know, I think it, and again, not like pat on the back for us. I think it's one of those things that like, if you dive into something, you know, full send it, go full ass. And we spent a lot of time and effort into engaging the community there, right? Neither of us are from Charleston, South Carolina. We have friends there. Paul Puckett is a huge factor of sort of engaging in the community. The last thing we want to do is come into any community and say, hey, here's what we're going to do, right? That's a great way to turn a lot of people off. It's you need to spend time in that community, listen to what they need or what they want, and try to do that. And we're not perfect whatsoever. That was not a perfect event. We got lucky and we spent a lot of time on it. And, you know, I think I was just on a podcast yesterday, but, you know,
Joe Rogan. Or
it was Joe. Yeah, it was Joe Rogan.
Joe. Shout out to Joe. I was just going to text him, but yeah.
Yeah, he's actually flying my plane today. So it'll be fun. But you know, and we can move on here, but I think the biggest thing we learned from Charleston is there's a giant need in the angling community for these type of interactions. I think as we move forward in more of a, maybe an AI world, a lot of things are real or not real. It's like as real as you're going to get. It's going to be people and interacting with the people that you want to or haven't before. So I think that really showed, that was like a bright light at Charleston, and you know, we've already planned the next one there in next May. And yeah, I mean, it's been a little wild journey here, a bit of a wild roller coaster. You know, when you're doing something like this and launching into it and have no clue what you're doing, or it's not a moneymaker, I'll pay you that much. But when you have a success like that okay, you're like, let's build this smartly and sustainably. So
100%. I think the authenticity is like as close to in high demand in the fishing space and maybe just spaces in general, like you touched on right now. Like authenticity is number one. I mean, we're all sick of like, it feels like I scroll my phone and 10 of the 20 things I'm fed are just like AI slop now. Like not even good AI, it's just like trash. So what are you looking forward to most? Just being able to joke with the boys and like, oh, that was actually a human I talked to instead of like press two for whatever. So I think that's really important. And one quick thing I'll throw in on the event side is, you know, obviously I had the background of Costa, done a bunch of events, done some with ASGA, and then, you know, did a bajillion with, you know, the brands I worked with. But I think you were humbly like, you know, you don't know what you don't know and you just go. But I feel like that's event. There's like two tiers to an event. There's the preparation where you try to be as like, we're dialed. We know it's this. This launches at this day. We ordered the lanyards, you know, whatever the stuff is. And then once you get to the first second
of the
event. We forgot
to order the lanyards, by the way.
That does. That adds up. That adds up. Everyone was just scribbling on their shirts, right, with Sharpies. But like when you get to the event, I feel like to be a really good event person, it's your ability to stay composed under pressure and handle the chaos. Like the most perfect event never goes perfectly. It's like we planned really hard and then we got to this point and then you never know oh my gosh, the generator went out and we don't have lights. So like the mic's not working, whatever. There's a million things, but your ability to stay calm and be like, hey, isn't that funny? So anyways, you know, that improv side, which Grizz is, anyone who attended Thai Fest knows that Grizz is great at improv or all species. You did the auction up there too and stuff, but you just have to be able to roll with the punches. And being on the inside of the event, the behind the scenes, you leave it going, oh my God, we forgot the lanyards and the napkins were red and we said they'd be blue. And the people who attend, like, unless it's something major, they have no clue any of that happened. They're not at home going, wow, I wish someone had lanyards. You know, like, they're just like, that was so fun. I had a good time. I saw Grizz. I haven't seen him in 3 years. Man, the beer was good. That music was good. We gave to a good cause. We learned something. They don't even know half the shit that's going on. So humbly, I mean, what you said, 1,600 people through the door or whatever? That's insane.
Yeah.
For year one.
Yeah.
And yeah, year one's always the hardest because you don't, like, how do you build something that you don't know what it is? Like you said, you're going into a new community, like, we're bringing Soulfly to Charleston. What the heck is that? Like, but now you know. Now you know what it can be and what it can't be, and now you can, like, you know, shape it and meld it and build on it. And obviously, both you guys saw that from year one to year two with Thai Fest when we brought it back. Year one, it was like,
for sure,
that was really cool, but what the F was that? Like, it was something we didn't even expect. And then year two was a lot more smooth as we got to, you know, fix some of those things. So,
well, and I think that's like speaks to the, like, I'm going to cut Grizz off because you just have to, you know, you got to be quick on the transitions.
Everyone gets three.
Because I feel like you got like these things, like if you're doing community events, I think you really want it to be community led. And like without getting into the event, like you don't know where it's going to go because it's like it's going to take on a whole energy when people come into the room. And I think like, you know, and I think. And Grizz is doing such a great job and our team is doing such a great job of just listening to lots of people, whether it's a vendor or a sponsor, or you know, potential attendee. I mean, just doing lots and lots of listening and just shaping this and having it be truly a community shaped event, which will also even have just an enormous impact of shaping it over time and just like the year over year changes. It's pretty cool. I mean, Soulfly is helping be the maybe just the spark, but it's like, man, the fuel and everything else is coming from the community, which is pretty special.
You know, let's tap real quick on the sponsor side, because the industry obviously plays a huge role in conservation and community and all the above, not just from their products, but, you know, their role in promoting stuff and being, you know, a connector of people within the brands themselves. So you guys have some really awesome brands involved in this, but I know from past life and still staying in touch with the people at those positions in those brands, like even if you guys started just a striped bass catch and release tournament tomorrow and you could guarantee them there's gonna be 500 boats in it, for brands aren't even looking for just like that whole scene is evolving and it's like, here is a handout about the tournament we are gonna run. They're like, yeah, but there's 1,000 of those. So it takes really creative, you know, side from the event makers to be like, how are we going to be different? How are we going to differentiate this is something worthy of their support? Because that brand support is so significant, not just financially, but from community and notoriety and getting, you know, inspiring more people to come. And so maybe if you want to tap in a little bit on that, either you guys, like, what do you think, what do you see on the industry side, or specifically with the couple brands you mentioned that are taking a big role? What are those brands looking for, or what are, you know, and maybe not spilling the tea of, like, you know, everyone's going to come out with their own Soulfly tomorrow. But I think that's really important for the industry to recognize, like, the scene is changing, and not only do attendees want something new, I think these brands do as well.
Yeah. I'll take this one first, Kyle, if you don't mind. I think, I just want to touch on that too, by the way. We welcome more Soulfly Co. type events. Like, this is not our lane that we're just going to protect and nobody else can do it. I mean, I think that leans right into the fact that we are in a very small industry, and the cash available to put on these events is tight and gets tighter every year. It gets, you know, the first thing you slash in a P&L is your marketing and your event line item, right? Because your ROI there is not be able to be seen right there. And I get it. But I think what we're trying to sort of, you know, change as far as not doing the same thing that all of us have always done is, like, okay, well, there is a larger ROI here that is we're engaging new folks. We're engaging folks in a different way. And I got to shout out, and I'll let Kyle, because really he's been the spearhead with Patagonia. But, you know, Patagonia, they were like, we don't sponsor music festivals, right? And we're like, well, this isn't a music festival, mm-hmm. right? This is a fly fishing, or excuse me, an angling event with some music. And I think, you know, the biggest thing there is trust. They trust us that we can provide an experience that is aligned with their brand and aligned with our brand. And that goes the same for Yeti and Turtlebox. I mean, I think the three of those are probably one of the three largest brands really around our space. And it's an honor to have them as our sponsors. And I think, you know, what we really is now event people have to do is you can't just keep relying on the Patagonia, the Yeti, and the Turtlebox. You've got to engage the smaller brands, the local brands. Obviously, you're not trying to get as much dollars out of them as you can, but you know, in a way, we're asking brands to say, "Hey, take a chance, see what this may do for you and your brand." You know, we don't want to take everything out of your coffers, but you know, these are not cheap things that we're doing. We're putting a fair amount out there, and we're willing to take that risk, but we need some help. And I think the belief in these brands that keep our industry going in something like what we're doing at Soulfly Co. is a really good barometer to say, okay, hey, this is something we can get into, and let's really make sure that we're doing this right and not effing it up. I'm sure Tony would say a different word than F.
Yes, but exactly. I'll like reverse censor it where it puts Tony's voice saying the F-bomb on you. No, that I'm going to throw in just one quick thought, Kyle. I'm going to pre-cut you off here. Talking about, like, expanding, pretty simple. There's only so many, we'll use Patagonia because they're being such a great supporter here, and they were so at TIEFest as well. But there's only so many Patagonias, and there's only, even Patagonia is massive, and they have this insane, you know, budget that they commit to so many great causes, just not even outside fisheries, all these other great social causes and stuff like that. So, but there's only so many. So, like, the solution, like you said, isn't just 1,000 more creative Soulfly-esque events and then just going to Patagonia and being like, no, we're the next worthy thing, you know, Patagonia signed this. And it always brings me back. In college, I fished in the bass series, and I grew up in the freshwater bass world. And if you look at bass fishing, totally different vibe than fly fishing. And a lot of times that scares fly fishermen and saltwater fishermen away, you know, and that's okay. There's different, like, you know, vibes and levels of promotion, et cetera. You know, bass fishing way more formalized as that kind of, you know, NASCAR-esque sport mode. But that being said, look at bass fishing, and their, like, title sponsors for all the different series and stuff aren't every bait company jumping in and stuff. It's like, oh, there's $20 bajillion from Walmart, from a tire company, from like whatever. And I'm not saying that that's where saltwater fishing needs to go. We need to tap into Jack Link's beef jerky. But that being said, like, if you want to talk about more money, more promotion, more exposure for fishing, for conservation going into it, as anglers in the outdoor community, we got to find ways to expand that. It's not just like wait on the next, you know, Turtlebox is one of the big dogs who just appeared, right, is newer on the scene. But fishing just isn't going to expand in outdoor conservation as new Turtleboxes come into the scene. We don't just wait for the next one. You know, it's on us to be like, hey, what bridges can we create with tangential spaces, communities, whatever, and start those powerful conversations, welcome them under the fold. And it sounds like these events are lined up specifically to kind of try to do that.
Totally. And I think that's such a good point, Cody. And, you know, and I think Nemo Equipment out of Dover, New Hampshire, started by a great friend, Cam Brensinger. They've been at it for, geez, probably close to 20 years. And they're a huge international company now that is making some of the finest tents and sleeping bags and pads and other awesome camp gear. You know, and this is a company that does not make a single fly fishing product, but they're looking at this as like, you know what, this is a great group that is brought together around angling. And, you know, as all these different brands too, I think are looking like, how do we not just preach to the same old choir? You know, for Nemo, it's the hiker and the backpacker. Like, how do we get outside of that a little bit and talk to some different crowds and in a really fun, authentic way? And I mm-hmm. think this, you know, an event like this can be answers to that. And I think also too, like, I think, you know, in the industry and a lot of folks that are trying to sell something, they've got sponsors in mind. And I think sponsors are also not the end all be all of making an event successful. I think it's a cherry on top. It helps with the cash flow. It helps you not go in debt at the end of the day. But I think there's also a lot to be said for just community driven, doing this with or without sponsors. You know, I think you can absolutely shift these models to do them with or without sponsors. And it's a beautiful thing to have some of these bigger players in the industry as a part of it and also be roping in, you know, maybe some of these kind of non-endemic or, you know, brands that are outside of our industry to get involved here and get involved in the beauty of the sport, the conservation fights, all of it. But,
yeah, I mean, you know, I'm thinking right now of Monster Energy. Like, Monster is definitely way more in the fishing scene than ever before, because they're like, man, how many people buy these cans when they're, you know, on their way to the ramp or whatever it may be? But they've been at like community driven events. It's not just bass fishing where they're like, buy a can and go flip a jig, you know, participating in Tie Fest and supporting Rob Fordyce and his ability to give back to the community and stuff like that. I mean, that's stuff fishing really needs.
Yeah, they supported us in Charleston as well. They're fantastic.
Awesome. And I don't want to, Grizz, are you about to get in line for boarding? Are we going to lose you here?
No. I'm good. I got.
Okay. Just relocating.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have you peter off your last words or like, please buckle in and put your tray table up. Well, no, gents, I mean, this is all awesome. Again, we'll do some social posts and this or that, but to help spread the good word. And obviously, Charleston was a huge success. Congratulations on that. Boston, I am bummed. Unfortunately, you guys are deciding to host some really fun stuff the week I'm expecting my first child. So a little Ooh. Selfish of you guys to box me out. Maybe you plan that.
I catch you a little selfish of you there. But
yes.
Yeah.
Well, if you do the math, I don't think I was thinking about Soulfly on that night, but hey, you never know. No, I mean, any closing thoughts, parting words of wisdom, maybe about any of the themes we touched on, or just for someone who's considering, or maybe like how someone, not only can they attend and participate in whatever capacity feels like their vibe, the different parts of the event, but how can they spread the good word or help make this thing even more of a bang in its first year and continue to grow?
Yeah, I mean, I think just, you know, I think we're on this podcast, of course, this is a bunch of ASGA supporters or maybe some really devout opposition. Either way, come out. You know, I think it's just a great, opportunity to see some of the folks that, you've heard on the podcast, that you've engaged with, that you want to learn more about fisheries. This is super low barrier to entry. Just show up and have fun. And soulflyco.com, looking forward to seeing folks out there.
Yeah.
Here's the parting thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, I think, this is all about community, right? And that word is overused for sure. But I think angling, fly fishing, spin, whatever you're into, the community is really strong. Like, Kyle, I'm just looking at JetBlue right now and thinking of that time we were coming back from the Bahamas. We were deplaning, and the pilot I'll mention his name, Captain Rob Young, who's an amazing man, an amazing pilot. He was a friend of Soulfly and has been to a lodge, has been a client of Kyle's up in Maine. And, you know, Rob, we're chatting about, you know, fishery management. And then Rob gives Kyle a ride home, you know, after getting off the plane. It's like, when was the last time a commercial pilot gave you a ride home? And it's just an example of, like, this amazing community that we have, and people in all different walks of life doing everything. And what we really want to engage people with is, we don't have the answers. We're just a vessel of getting people together. Please reach out to us and say, hey, maybe think about this or do this. You know, this is something that we're all in together. We just happen to be taking sort of the torch and trying to lead the way a little bit. So we hope to see you September 12th, or the Charleston folks there next May or February as well. But yeah, Cody, Tony, thanks for having us on. It's always a pleasure.
Awesome, man. I love it. My closing thought here on this one is going to be, with everything you guys are laid out about the event, you know, this is the perfect one to bring a friend. And when I mean bring a friend, like when ASGA is like, go down to the courthouse and make a public comment, like, not something you bring your buddy who's, you know, just likes to go hiking to, but your buddy who's never picked up a fishing rod, but just likes to go hiking on his own. This is the bring a friend, you know, like, this is welcome someone new, but don't just look at this as like, who's my go-to fishing buddy who, you know, surf casts at 2 a.m. with me, like, who's someone new I could bring into the fold here, but not even from like an advocacy recruitment side, just like that person, let them come hang out, have a drink. Man, these artists are rad. The music was good. And maybe they don't even process who Elevate Youth and ASGA were the first time they come through. But what you did was still valuable there, of welcoming someone into this community and in a touch point that's like of their own depth. They can dip their toes just barely. This seems like a perfect event to do so. So let's soulflyco.com if you want to learn more. And yeah, gentlemen, really appreciate it. Grizz, safe travels. Kyle, safe travels soon when you go back to the Bahamas. And I guess I will plan to bring my son to year two of Boston. Just make sure, like, you know, the music gets really quiet when it's bedtime and stuff like that. But
of course.
We'll have a headphone sponsor for that. Yes. One for the hearing safety. And holy smokes, man, we're sending you great vibes. We'll be thinking about you all through the weekend, Cody. Man.
Thank you. Everyone has told me it's really easy. Like, just, they just said, get a lot of sleep and just like tell your wife, like, what are you crying about and stuff like that. Like, I think those are the type of things you really want to do. So, I have the blueprint. I'm ready.
Yeah. Just wing it.
Just wing it.
We're all just winging it. Just wing it.
It's just one lifelong event. That's all. And don't forget the lanyards. All right, gentlemen. Thank you so much. And thanks, we'll catch everyone here again soon.